This is Lightning Power Lunch with Dave Mishkin and Greg Linnelli on Lightning Radio.
It's the playoffs, man. It's going to be, there's going to be ups and downs throughout a game, throughout a series, and throughout a period. And that's what happened tonight. They had a little bit of pushback and excellent third period by our guys. And just kind of simplified it, did everything right, and just a solid third period to close the door.
I had a plan in my head to come back in the first game of the first round. Obviously, that didn't happen. I had a little setback, and I want to thank Stemmer, actually, because he broke his leg, and Mikey, our trainer, was showing me videos of Stemmer skating like 4 weeks after, and you know, that kind of pushed me.
I think the biggest thing for us is our emotions, and when you know we get engaged, it's been a series of ebbs and flows. There's times when they're kind of all over us, and I feel like there's some times we're all over them, and so it's how each team is handles those, and so you know when we're emotionally engaged, which we definitely were last night, that's a good thing for us.
That is a good thing for us, John Cooper, right there, and you heard from Petty, no doubt about that, and the Lightning looking to extend a little bit more. They take on the Panthers tonight, game 5. Florida up 3-1, but the Lightning coming off a win a couple of nights ago at Amalie Arena. Greg Linnelli with you, along with the radio voice of the Lightning, Dave Mishkin. Our executive producer is Steve Versnick, and we are on, I guess you just call it Spaces today, partner, on the Lightning's account, which is a lot of fun. For those of you who are just joining us, maybe for the first time, we do this show every weekday at noon in the Lightning mobile app. Just click the headphones and follow us at Bolts Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and X for the latest. And it's been a lot of fun all year. So if you're just joining us right now, thank you. And we like to make the show about the fans as well. So we do a lot of interaction. We do read a lot of posts, some good, some bad, but we definitely get all
posts. Yeah, we take all posts. We're also available on demand. So if you can't listen between 12 and 1, kind of hard to interact with us when we're done, but
we'll find a way.
You can go back and listen. Yeah. You can listen, as they say, in podcast form, but we are live today.
We are live, and we do have a game tonight. You know, I was thinking about this, and we can maybe start the show a little bit, partner, not only recapping what went well for the Lightning a couple of nights ago in their win against the Panthers, but I found myself asking this question yesterday and today. Did anything the Lightning do in their win on Saturday, do you think it grabbed the Panthers' attention? Or do we still feel like, or do you still feel like, or anybody else out there feel like the Panthers are going to view that as simply just one game and we didn't feel like we were going to sweep the Lightning? We're going to take care of our business tonight. And maybe that's the mindset. Or do you think, is there anything the Lightning showed us in that game 4 that should have the Panthers concerned not only tonight, but hopefully for the rest of the series?
Well, we have discussed this idea of, does momentum carry in a playoff series from game to game? And I'm a firm believer that it does not. I am a believer that you can have momentum within a game. We saw some big momentum swings within game 4. We've seen some momentum swings in the series within games. I don't really think that anything that happens in one game necessarily has a carryover effect to the next game in terms of momentum. Like, one team is surging or they had a fantastic outing, and then that's just going to continue in the next game. It's a new game and everybody gets a chance to reset. But I will give you one example, I think, of something that can carry over, not momentum, but something that can carry one game to the next and carry through a series. And that is confidence on special teams. I think confidence, like, you've talked to Jason Colmore about this, Greg, and he says, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't think momentum carries from game to game within a playoff series, but a team's confidence can. Cully has said that. And that I look, I'm going to defer to the athlete who's played in some high pressure playoff games and playoff series. But the Lightning's power play was pretty effective against the Panthers in game four. And so much of special team success, both power play and penalty, it's tied to personnel. Yes. It's tied to kind of the schematics of it and how you're trying to crack the nut of scoring a power play goal if you're on the power play, or preventing the other team from scoring a power play goal if you're on PK. But swagger and confidence is important too. To be honest, I mean, the Lightning's power play has let them down at points in the series. It went 0-for-4 in game three. It had that 4-minute power play right at the beginning of the third period in game two in a tie game where they could have grabbed control of that game. But they scored a big power play goal in the first period of game four on a very well executed play. Hagel to point, blind backhand pass to Stamp goes wide open, and he buried it. And I know it was kind of garbaggio time, but the fact that the Lightning made a play in the 5-on-3 probably makes them feel good as well. So how long does this confidence last? I mean, it may last basically to the first failed power play if they get a power play and don't score on it tonight if it doesn't look very good. But that, to answer your question, I think that the Lightning are going to need to zip the puck around on the power play effectively and confidently against a penalty kill that is very aggressive. That's how you break down an aggressive penalty kill, with quick, accurate puck movement. Because an aggressive penalty kill works really well when you can get to the puck carrier or an area and disrupt a play. But if you don't get there in time, you're out of position. It's kind of what we saw on the Nick Paul goal. I understand it was a 5-on-3, but there was no Panther even close to Paul. Lightning got the puck to the front of the net, and he had two chances and buried it. So if the Lightning have guys feeling good, hey, we're on it, maybe that will help them should they get a power play chance tonight. Because we never know going into a playoff game. Will they get 0? Will they get 1? Will they get 5 like the other night? So that's one answer. And the other answer, I'm not so certain about this, but I'll bring it up. The Lightning had success in game four shooting pucks past Sergei Bobrovsky. Now, some of them were some screenshots, but they weren't like heavy screens. There might have been one guy in the way. And what Phil talked about was, and Chief as well, on our broadcast, shooting the puck from the top of the circle. If you get too close to Bobrovsky, he's so athletic and so good down low, where it may be difficult to lift the puck, he's in a much better spot to stop it than maybe if he is set and you're shooting, not from like distance, I'm not talking about like the blue line, but where did Brandon Hagel score his goals in game four? Hash marks. Where did Stamkos score his goal in the third period? Kind of top of the circle. Right? Where did Tyler Motte score his goal? Game three. Kind of the high slot. So I don't know. I mean, Sergei Bobrovsky, by the way, was just one of the Vezina finalists that was announced today. So congratulations to him, and well deserved and well earned to be one of the top three goalies by the voters. He had a terrific season. Like, there's this like, we've cracked the code for Bobrovsky. I don't believe that about him. I don't believe that about anyone. We've heard that about Vasilevsky. Oh, well, we've discovered this weakness for Vasilevsky. Like, the guy has been one of the best goalies, if not the best goalie in the league for a long time. If he had some kind of hiddenness, it wouldn't have been hidden for long. But the Lightning did have success shooting pucks in from those areas, and we'll see if that carries forward into tonight's game.
I think you're right, though. I think for me,
might carry over. We can get into game four, though, as we get.
Yeah, we'll touch on that for sure. I think, you know, Chief has mentioned going high on Bobrovsky. And look,
yeah, you need to.
He can say that with every goaltender, too, though.
The Hagel goal that made it 4-1 and the Stamkos goal that made it 5-3, like, okay, they were not along the ice. So, as a point of comparison or contrast, Hagel's shorthanded goal to me is as close close to a perfect as you're going to have. It's right between where the crossbar and the post meet. Chief's point was that Bobrovsky was a little deep in his net, because we talked about this after the first period, as Hagel had scored at that point, because he scored in the first. What he said was, if Bobrovsky is a little farther out, he has more of a chance to stop that shot before it reaches a spot where most goalies are going to have trouble stopping it. Fair enough. I'm going to defer to the goalie expert on that and the guy who played the position. But there is no question that while the Stamkos goal that made it 5-3 and before that the Hagel goal that made it 4-1 were good shots. They were good shots. Picking corners. Like, there was an element of, and you've said this before, Greg, the Panthers kind of needed a save there from Bobrovsky, and he didn't give it to them. So they were not bad goals. Don't mistake me for what I'm saying here. What I am saying is that they were both good shots. If you're talking about a Vezina finalist, like, they were stoppable, and he wasn't able to come up with the saves there. Will that carry into tonight's game? I have no idea.
If you want to get involved in that conversation, please do at Bolts Radio, and we will make sure we read it on X here as we continue to look ahead at tonight's game. Really, the biggest element you took out of Saturday, pardon, not only did the Lightning win, Steven Stamkos continues to play at a high level. Might be the best offensive player so far in this series, certainly for the Lightning. But Mikhail Sergachev returns to the lineup. And maybe this was just gamesmanship by the Lightning, because we see this in sports all the time, especially when you get to the postseason. Teams aren't going to give you a ton of information outside of he's not in the lineup tonight. And outside of that, if you think it's a long-term injury, it's pretty hard for maybe the staff to come out and say, yeah, he's going to be out for the playoffs. The thinking was that Sergachev was, if he was going to play, it would be late in the playoffs. I mean, that was kind of the vibe you were picking up when the coaching staff would talk about Sergachev and his injury. But there he was, making his return to game four, which, let's face it, that has to be a pick-me-up. The risk you run into something like that is that he plays and, you know, 10 minutes in, he's feeling it because he hasn't played in that type of an environment for, what was it, 34 games leading up to the one on Saturday. So that certainly, I think, should have given the team some juice. And the way that Stamkos is playing, I'm not sure this has anything to do with his contract, because I just think he's a professional and he's playing at a very high level, and I'm not sure the contract has anything to do with it. With his play has allowed the Lightning here another heartbeat, which is what you want to see, and now you build off of it. But to me, that was probably the most surprising element of Saturday's game, the fact that Sergachev was in the lineup and Lightning won 12-6.
Yeah, we were surprised that he was in the lineup. So was there gamesmanship on the part of the Lightning? Hard to know. I mean, at the start of the series, John Cooper was asked, because Sergachev, he's like, not really this series, maybe deeper in the playoffs. And maybe they had an inkling that he was able to come back. I mean, he wanted to come back. We played the clip at the beginning of the show. He wanted to come back for the beginning of the series, and he wasn't ready. So Coop might have been thinking, well, he's not ready for game one. Maybe he's not going to be ready for any game in the series, but maybe the next round. And Coop did say that. Turns out that he got cleared before game four. So I think a couple of things were working for the Lightning heading into game four. One was Sergachev's return, which gave them an emotional boost. There's no question. And Coop just talked about how much emotion they played with in game four. The second was the Lightning played at a higher desperation level from the get-go than the Panthers. That is not shocking. The Lightning were facing elimination and the Panthers weren't. And I think we saw that play out in the first period. And there's a reason I'm saying that. I'm not taking anything away from what the Lightning did in the first period. They had a fantastic first period. It was their best period so far in the series. But the reality is that in a game in which one team is facing elimination, the team isn't, you may see a disparity in the desperation level. In fact, you probably will see a disparity in the desperation level. It doesn't always equate to a victory for the team that is facing elimination. If that were the case, we would never see a sweep We saw a sweep. The Rangers just swept the Capitals yesterday. The team that is up 3-0 may come in with less at stake, but still get the job done and win the game. And the Panthers certainly had pushback in the second period into the third. So I think it was a confluence of the Lightning had their backs against the wall. They got the boost from Sergachev, and maybe this shouldn't be understated. The Lightning played like a team that didn't want its season to be over. And maybe sometimes a team down 3-0 just feels like that's it, right? We don't have the oomph to come back. And the Lightning showed plenty of fight from the get-go in game four and served notice that we are not going anywhere. You are going to have to get that fourth win, and we are not going to make it easy for you. And I think all of that fed into really a fantastic opening 20 minutes for the Lightning. Second period was a different story. Second period, the Panthers raised their level, down 3-0. They were probably a little ticked off about how the first period went. And Phil was saying, you know what they are talking about in the locker room after the first period. If the Lightning can score three in a period, so can we. And the Panthers did score three in the second period. For Lightning, they got a goal themselves. So Hagel's goal in the 4-on-4 allowed them to exit the second period still in the lead, up 4-3. But the Panthers were coming. Like, this is a legit team, Greg. I mean, we knew that from how they played in the playoffs here, what they did in the regular season this year. They're showing it. They are a rock solid team. And it might have been easy for them to say, look, this just isn't our day. We have a 3-0 lead. We at least got the split in Tampa. So we're going home up 3-1. We have a very strong hold on series, which they do, up 3-1. They could have said, this just isn't our day. They didn't let it go, though. They tried to win game four, and they made a strong push and got back into the game. And I thought in the third period, after some anxious moments early, I understand the narrative was the Lightning regrouped during the mission between the second and the third. And it's true, they held the Panthers to only 5 shots in the third period. But those first 5 to 6 minutes of the third, like, if you're a Lightning fan, you had some anxiety with how the third period was looking. Montour had a terrific chance right off a faceoff in the slot. Vasilevsky, I think, got it with the shaft of his stick. Reinhardt hit the inside of the post. Either of those go in, it's 4-4, which is why I thought the Stamkos goal to make it 5-3. I mean, it's hard to argue it was the biggest goal in the game, but it was certainly one of the biggest goals of the game, because it almost seemed like that signal, this isn't going to be the Panthers' day. Like, the Lightning were back up 5-3 with half a period to go, and they had control back on their side, and it was a fairly uneventful, in terms of pressure generated by the Panthers, uneventful final 10 minutes. It was not uneventful in terms of some of the rough stuff that happened, and we can get into that if we want as well. And the Panthers took some penalties down the stretch and had other incidents that were not called for penalties down the stretch. But the Stamkos goal that made it 5-3, I thought, allowed the Lightning to kind of settle down a little bit, and they had a very good 10 and a half minutes of the third period to ride out the rest of game four and get that one in the win column. So look, it was a topsy-turvy game. I think the Lightning were the better team in game four. I think they were deserving of the win, but the Panthers served notice that, like, there aren't going to be any kind of easy layups against this team. Like, even if you build a 3-0 lead, we're not going anywhere. Yeah. But at the same time, the Lightning served notice that they aren't going anywhere either. Like, the Panthers are going to have to earn this fourth win, and we'll see if the Lightning can bring that same level of emotion as Coop wants, based on his quote, into tonight's game five.
I think that's fair. And I think the Lightning, do they have to play a perfect game on the road tonight? I think it'll probably go a long way. I think the Panthers, you have to anticipate the Panthers. Look, they were playing with house money. So the Panthers understand that if you give the Lightning an opportunity to win tonight, then the series becomes a lot more intriguing, and the Lightning have to battle like no other. You mentioned the special teams, the power play. What's interesting about all of that and the way the Panthers have attacked the Lightning, Dave, is like you and I have discussed this during the regular season heading into the playoffs. And one of the questions we said was, okay, so the way Kucherov is playing, how are you going to attack the Lightning's power play? Because if you come at them and you pressure Kucherov, his ability to make tremendous reads and see the ice as cleanly as he does is going to make that a really tall order. And the other notion was, well, if a team sits back and just allows him to have the puck, but everybody else is covered, then Kucherov is going to shoot. And we saw this year, his ability to shoot is at a pretty high level, and he can hurt you that way. Give credit to the Panthers. They have found a way to at least contain that. And it's mainly been pressuring. And it's going to be something that I don't know how many calls are going to happen tonight. You know my take on power plays. It's just from game to game, it's going to change. And typically, and I think we saw this late in the third period sometimes, that whistle gets swallowed. And when it does, it usually hurts the team that needs the power play a lot more. And the Lightning, for whatever reason, whether you agree with it or not, this year they have built more so on the power play than in previous years. Not to say that they didn't have elite power plays before, but I think because of some of the depth concerns some people had, they were going to have to rely on the power play a little bit more to generate that type of offense. And to their credit, for the most part, the Panthers have done a nice job. But now I think it's time for the Lightning, Dave, to make some sort of adjustment. I know it's easy for us to throw that word out there. We're not coaches, but you've had now four games to adjust and to see what Florida likes to do. Is there anything that the Lightning can do to counter their aggressive penalty kill in a game like tonight if they get those opportunities?
Well, I mean, I think they know that they need to execute quickly, but knowing that you need to do it and actually doing it when you're facing the sort of pressure the Panthers apply while shorthanded is another matter entirely, which is why we opened the show with you asking me what can carry over from game four. Swagger in terms of your ability to move the puck quickly on the power play hopefully will carry over, because the Lightning did that. I mean, they did it on the 5-on-3, but the Stamkos goal that opened the scoring, that was the example and an example of quick puck movement. Hagel is kind of at the goal line extended, and that was one adjustment the Lightning made. Hagel joined the top power play unit for game four and had an assist on the Stamkos power play goal. Hagel throws it to Point in the slot, and Point is closed on as back because he's in a very dangerous area. He doesn't hesitate at all. He makes a blind backhand pass to Stamkos, who's open. If he hesitates there, he gets stripped, probably. But he didn't. It was quick, accurate puck movement, and because the Panthers were aggressive, Stamkos was open. I mean, that's simplifying it. Bobrovsky also was set for a potential shot from Point, so he couldn't get over in time to make the save on Stamkos. That makes guys who play on the power play feel good when you make a play like that. So it's not so much an adjustment like, well, we've seen them for four games now. Know what we need to do. I think they've known what they've needed to do from the get-go. It's just a matter of going out and doing it. And that ties in to one of the big problem areas the Lightning had in game three, which they had some problems in the second period in game four. And that's clearing the zone. When the Lightning have struggled the most, I think, in the series, it is tied to their inability to execute zone clears, zone exits. The Panthers have scored more than a few goals in this series on plays that started with the Lightning having the puck in the defensive zone and not getting it out. So you might say, well, after four games, this shouldn't be a problem anymore. It's about executing, right? It's about where are you going with the puck and what are you doing with the puck when you make that decision about where you're going. It's not easy. I mean, if it were easy, they wouldn't make any mistakes in the defensive zone. The other team is forcing you to make a decision and make a decision quickly. And I think that's true when the Lightning have the puck in the power play, and it's true when they have the puck in the defensive zone. But that doesn't mean you can't make play. In fact, you have to make the right play. making the right play may be the difference between winning and losing tonight and extending your season or seeing it end. I didn't really answer your question about adjustments, but I think that it's more about, because I don't really think it is about adjustments. I think it's about finding a high level and maintaining it, which is what you're going to need to do when you're facing one of the top teams in the NHL.
Yep. I'm curious if anybody out there listening to the show today, do you feel like the Lightning have put a seed of doubt into the Panthers' mindset at all based off of what we saw on Saturday? Or do you feel like, yeah, you know what, Greg, we're going to have to wait till tonight for that to really happen? Because if the Lightning win tonight, then you can make the argument, yeah, now Florida has something to worry about. Or do you think there's something that the Lightning were able to exploit on Saturday is something certainly they can not only build off tonight, but maybe should have the Panthers a little concerned, maybe a lot concerned. I was saying this on the postgame show. I do think the fact that Kucherov, Dave, hasn't had like a signature game, you know, one where he is just dominant. I mean, look, there's Kucherov getting three assists, and then there's Kucherov getting
primary assists, but yeah. You're right.
then there's games where Kucherov gets two goals and three assists. You know, I mean, it's like his handprints, his fingerprints are everywhere. And I'm wondering, do we still look at that and say the Lightning have that potentially in their back pocket, understanding the Panthers have a huge say in how that plays out, but that the Panthers maybe in the back of their mind also maybe have to be looking at it and saying, okay, you know, Kucherov's been okay, but he hasn't been great. And that's something we have to be worried about.
Well, head coaches worry about everything. So I think Paul Maurice is probably, he's probably thinking about that, but he also has to acknowledge that his team has done a pretty good job against Kucherov through the first four games.
Yes, they have.
So when you say, are the Panthers getting concerned or more concerned? I mean, the shoe has been on the other foot where, I mean, there have been a lot of series where the Lightning have been up 3-0 and then lost game four, but I do remember one in 2015 when they were up 3-0 against Montreal, lost game four at home. So this is a little different. Panthers lost game four on the road, and then the Lightning went to Montreal and lost game five in Montreal and had to come back for game six, and they closed out the series at home in game six. There was like that niggling feeling of, at least for me, and I mean, I'm not playing or coaching, but I was thinking, you know, like we're letting this team hang around and it's getting closer to the end of the series. And there have only been four teams in NHL history ever to lose a series when taking a 3-0 lead. And one of them in 2015, one of them had happened. The last one happened the year before. The Kings in 2014 did it to San Jose. So I think that whether the Panthers are thinking about that yet or not, I think if the Lightning win tonight, that will become certainly a talking point. But the other way to look at it is this way, Greg, which is if the Panthers are getting a little concerned, if that's the right word to use, that probably means that their desperation level is going to be higher. And I would expect that their desperation / intensity level is going to be higher tonight than what we saw at the beginning of the game on Saturday. And I think the Panthers are going to come out and try and put a stamp on game five right from the get-go. And like, this series ends tonight. We're not going back to Tampa. This is a five-game series we're winning tonight. As opposed to if they went into game four, like, well, we got our split. We have a 3-0 lead. You know, like the dynamic has changed, right? Because we have a new game. We've had a little under, I guess it would be about 48 hours by the time we drop the puck, 47 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
But games. And the mindset has shifted. It's not 3-0 anymore. The Lightning aren't at home anymore. They're not getting Sergachev with an emotional triumphant return anymore. This is a new day. It's a new game. The series is now 3-1. The Panthers are the home team. And they're like, we're ending this thing. That's their mentality. And one reason why they are saying that probably to themselves and feeling that way is just what you brought up. Like, they don't want this series to be extended because they know if they lose tonight, they're going to be fielding all of these questions about, well, you had a 3-0 lead. What's changed? What are they doing to affect the dynamic of the series? What are you going to do if you don't win games? I mean, like, they don't want to even deal with that. Understandably so. So if you're the Lightning, I think you have to be ready for a different sort of opponent from the get-go. But there's no reason why the Lightning can't bring the same level of emotion that they brought at the start of game four in a series in which, frankly, Greg, like, the Lightning have not had good first periods up until game four.
Right.
So maybe they can enter this game and say, you know what, the Panthers are going to, but so are we, because we are the team still facing elimination.
That's true. And
the dynamic is different. It is. I mean, it's just the reality of the situation. We're not where we were at 5:07 or whatever on Saturday evening. Not. The series looks different now.
It does. And, you know, look, Crozier plays. And
yes, very
that was
good,
the move.
Yeah.
Listen, I think there were a couple of things that we had talked about that came to fruition on Friday, Thursday at least.
You talk. I got to give you my props, man. You're like, I think Crozier's in. I think Stamkos is going to play with Pointy Kucha. You didn't mention Sergachev, but you were wondering if the Lightning would bring in a lefty to go three righties, three lefties. So you were like, box check, box check, box check. I'm like, Greg, man,
I think
a lottery ticket.
Well, I think with Crozier, you and I both agreed on this one. I think regardless of what hand he uses to shoot the puck, we liked enough of what we've seen so far to use him. I think that was our
like
thinking.
Radish might not be able to play, which
that factors into it.
Yeah,
but I've been impressed,
by the way.
And look, if Crozier is part of the future, which we think he is, now is invaluable time. Put him in there, and he's done nothing to make it look like or make it seem he can't handle it. Now, look, maybe tonight he plays and things don't go well. Oh, so be it. But everybody's talked about Dave, his poise with the puck and his ability to make good decisions. And we know at some point he's going to have games where that isn't as great. But we felt like play him. The reason I just felt like Stamkos with Cooch and Point was just pretty simple, was to get Cooch going. And we have seen those three players on a line together previously, Dave, and they've put up some tremendous numbers. I think when they've gotten in trouble, it's they've tried to overpass. I think now the stakes are different. Stamkos, I think, is playing on another level. And I think it's more, you know, usually it's, can Kucherov get Point or Stamkos going? Isn't it interesting? I'm looking at it like, can Stamkos help get Kucherov going?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they went to it. I wouldn't be surprised if they start that line tonight, but knowing John Cooper, if it gets stale, he'll change it up. I mean, Hagel's been fantastic up and down that lineup, so certainly he has the ability to play with those guys and do well, but I would stick with that line. I don't know what else he can do. I would say this. I think in a game like this, I'd probably shorten my bench even more. And so you might say, well, look, you need your fourth line to battle. I get it. I understand it. I'm just telling you, if early signs are indicating to you that, you know, you may have to lean on your big boys a little bit more tonight than you need to or you'd like to, what are you saving it for?
Right.
So that's probably, like, if you're looking for a bold prediction, I probably ran out of my bold predictions with Stamkos and Crozier, but I would say this. I would look to shorten the bench tonight, especially if you find yourself down, you know, by a goal and you're in the second period, you may not see a ton of some of the other guys. All that being said, I liked what I've seen from Mott. Glendening, you know, is maybe you spot him here and there getting some faceoffs, but I think you have to do what's best at this point and ride your horses.
Well, the Lightning had a skate at the arena this morning. I did not go because I would have been in transit while our show was on. And it'd be an optional skate. So we didn't really learn much about what the lineup might look like for tonight. But I will go on the record, Greg, and say this. Following a win, I would be surprised if the Lightning have any lineup changes tonight. And not only would I be surprised if they have any lineup changes, I would be surprised if they have any changes to lines. So I agree with you. I think Stamkos is going to stay with Point of Kucherov. We had Duclair with Cirelli and Hagel, and this is what Phil talked about. He was like, moving Stamkos away from Cirelli and Hagel, he had basically he had one reservation before game four, and that was, I wonder what that's going to do to any kind of offensive pop Cirelli and Hagel might have on the second line. And that turned out not to be a concern because Hagel had a couple of goals, a shorthanded goal and a goal during a 4-on-4. So it wasn't during 5-on-5, but Hagel, at least on the quote unquote second line, did contribute. And then the bottom six basically stayed the same when the Lightning have dressed 12-6, which they have for three of the four games in the series, where you had Paul Chaffee, AC Mott, and you had Glendening with Mott and Janot. And then the D, Dumba plays with Hedman because we have Darren Radish's day-to-day. Assuming Radish is not able to return, I guess that would be the one caveat I would add. Because I think if Radish is able to return, he is an asset. And I think he's played well in the series.
I think they stay with seven defensemen.
But, well, okay, so if he comes in, maybe they go 7D. But day-to-day, they may just make the lineup the same. But if it's the same, you got Dumba, Hedman, you got Chernak and Sergachev, and then you've got, of course, Lilleberg and Crozier. And that's how they set the lineup. And they basically kept it the same through much of game four.
So here's how, maybe this is the bold prediction. If Radish is clear to play, I don't see John Cooper benching any of the six current defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's hard to sit there and say Crozier's going to sit after that lineup won the previous night. And I don't think you're going to sit Dumba.
So here is the, and we're kind of going down the, I don't know, the rabbit hole, but
love
hypothetical hole. If you're going to pull out one forward, the other time the Lightning did it, they pulled out Tanner Janot. Based on what happened at the end of game four, do you feel like Janot needs to be in the lineup?
Is Bennett playing?
Would you pull out?
Is Bennett playing?
No, actually. The Panthers are using this. They did have a full skate. So they are using the same lineup.
I mean.
You hear Brian on the last call?
What did he say?
Oh, man. He was not thrilled with Montour and Mikola and the liberties that they took.
Montour, I got to tell you, Montour, watching him play, especially the Lightning over the years, what you think he is as a player, and then when you see him play the Lightning, he is different. He does take some shots. I think he's
part of Florida's DNA, though. This is what I was saying to Phil. He's like, "What's Oliver Ekman Larson doing?"
That's a good point. Like, what is Montour doing? He's not that player.
Well, look, Oliver Ekman Larson is now a member of the Florida Panthers. The Florida Panthers were shorthanded the second most times in the NHL this year, behind Anaheim. They play an in your face game. That's part of their DNA. Now, we're Mikko Montour going over the line. I mean, Montour's cross check, you might say at 5-3 with 4 minutes left, the game's over, but who knows? And the Lightning were on the power play. That cross check basically ended any hope out of a comeback, and they called it, right? They called it. It was. Yeah. I heard some people saying maybe he should be suspended for that, including Brian Engblom. But if the Panthers are going to play that sort of game, what Brian was saying is you have Tanner Janot in the lineup, but Tanner Janot is not going to challenge Nico Mikola or Nick Cousins, let's say, a guy who fights. He's going to Reinhardt. He's going to Verhaeghe. He's going to Barkov. And he's doing to them
what Montour is
doing to Kucherov.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to justify Janot potentially being in the lineup because you want to protect your teammates from actions the Panthers have done the previous four games, then Janot has to do that to their players.
That's why I asked, like, again, we're going down hypothetical highway here.
Sure,
Like, if Radish is in, like, I would go 7D. Like,
so my sense would be Janot would be coming out. My sense would be Janot would be coming out, even with all of that being said.
And there isn't always carryover from nastiness in one game to the next in a playoff series.
They have a lot of guys that go over the line. I don't know if there are guys you fear from a fighting perspective because you don't see a ton of that in the playoffs. But, you know, look, if Bennett, he's not playing tonight, but if he does, he's somebody I think you have to keep the head on the swivel. But I think you're right. I think the team has embraced that type of style. So you have to be cognizant of that if you're on the ice. The Lightning have guys who can respond to that type of dirtiness. They don't have a Bogosian or a Maroon. I understand that. And if Janot is out, you're going to have to probably look at some other guys to to answer the call, but they certainly do. Asimov, I feel like, is somebody that would be right in the middle of things and not think twice about it. We know about Sorelli, and even Hegel throws himself in there, and you have some guys on the back end. So I get why it's attractive to keep Tanner Janot, but I think you have to ask yourself the question, are the Lightning potentially, if Radish does come back, are they better served keeping all of those defensemen in the lineup, going short one forward, and potentially double shifting at times your star players in an elimination game? And if it gets dirty, listen, you either answer the call or you hope the officials maybe are quick to jump in and not let it get out of control.
Well, look, the fact that Radish was day to day, I'm leaning towards seeing the same lineup. I mean, I, and again, without any kind of knowledge, as it relates to how the Panthers have played in the series, they've been very good on the penalty kill. But it's not that the officials haven't called them for penalties. I mean, the Lightning have had 17 power play chances in the series. That is the most, tied for the most in the NHL playoffs this year. So the Panthers took a lot of penalties during the regular season and killed off most of those penalties. You don't get to number one in the league defensively if you have a bad penalty kill. And in this series, they've continued to be called for penalties. Now, maybe they have actually committed more infractions than they've been called for. And we had that discussion about the officiating, what they were calling, what they weren't calling early in the series. But there's no question, like, through four games, the Lightning have had a chance to positively impact some of the games in the series with their power play. And they did in game four, but they haven't in some of the other games in the series. Game one, they basically had one power play. I know they scored one at the end of the game, but at that point, it was, what, 10 seconds left. So it didn't have a huge impact on positively affecting the game. But since game one, I mean, the Lightning had their looks at points on the power play, and it wasn't until game four that their power play really threw for them in a significant way at a key time. Paul Maurice said after game four, we need to stay out of the penalty box. He's probably looking at what is happening and saying, we have to be able to avoid the penalties that are avoidable, but we don't want to lose identity. And you are kind of placing this kind of at the feet or the skates of the referees then. I don't think the Panthers are going to tiptoe through game five because they're afraid of taking penalties. I think they're going to play the exact same way, even though their head coach is saying we need to stay out of the box more.
Sure.
By the way, referees tonight are Trevor Hansen and Eric Furlatt.
Ooh.
The latter is one of Phil's least favorite referees, but that's going back a few years.
And Phil is doing the game with you.
Bill, so that's going to be Bill's exciting. Here, yes.
And for those of us joining us on Spaces today, we thank you for that. We are here every weekday, noon to one. Power Lunch here on Lightning Radio.
During the season.
During the season, yeah. So we're here with you every day during the season. So it's a lot of fun, and we hope you continue to listen to us. If you don't, we're on demand, and that's where you can check us if you don't listen to us live, which, listen, sometimes that does happen, but we are on the Lightning mobile app. Just click the headphones and follow us at Bolts Radio.
By the way, I wanted to tell you, we chatted briefly when I got to the press box, basically as warm-ups were starting on Saturday, because I was outside signing copies of Blind Squirrel.
The Blind Squirrel, love it.
Yeah, so we had a good amount. I did bring some boxes back to the car, but that was expected because I brought a lot of boxes this time. I'm not going to run out today, unlike the first time. I can't tell you how many people came up and thanked us basically for Power Lunch and how much they like listening to it. Yeah. One guy saying I have my hour from 12 to 1. It's like I squeeze it out to the last minute to try and hear the last few minutes. I'm like, you know, you can go back and listen on demand.
He likes
saying that. I like listening from 12 to 1.
I like it. Hey, maybe he's on his lunch break, you know, but we appreciate
that.
Not
his lunch break. Yes.
Thank you. Do you want to get some questions here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do it. Okay. Matt says, awesome that we won game four. Do I think we can still win it all? Slim chance, but still a chance. Not getting my hopes up, but if any team can do it, it's the Lightning. Just glad we got a win when we weren't predicted to go that far in the playoffs.
So what we said after game three, and I believe this, you can't get this and say the Lightning have to win four straight against a team that really hasn't sustained any kind of significant losing streaks all year, with the exception of one little stumble they had in March, Florida. What you can look at, though, is can we win this game? Is it possible that the Lightning are going to win tonight? The answer is yes. That's how you have to look at it if you're the Lightning. And you even go more micro than that, because Tyler Mott, after game three, was looking ahead to game four and talking about the mentality. And it's like shift by shift. Got to go shift by shift. As viewers, we don't need to look at it necessarily shift by shift. But in terms of the brain space for fans, if you say, boy, now it's three, we need to win three straight from this really good Florida team, two on the road, that seems daunting at best. Well, don't look at it that way. Look at it as we need to win tonight to extend the season. And let's see if we can get the job done tonight.
I like it. Dan says, love the effort from 99 and 38, also 20, 24 and 81 and other role players. But don't we have a fast young crunch to replace 10? He's been mailing it in.
Did also, he say 99? Is Wayne Gretzky on the Lightning? Was that 98 or 91?
I've got to think that's 98. I've got to think that's 98. 98. Okay. Well, you know, it could be. Look, if you have 98, 91 there, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Also, I recognize Cooch as a silky smooth player when he first got here and described him as bossy-like. His effort lacks.
Well, Cooch doesn't look like, this is the argument that some people were making pro McKinnon for the Hart Trophy. Like, McKinnon looks like a locomotive train, you know, like steaming down the ice. And Cooch is shifty, right? And so people were like, well, Nathan McKinnon, like, he puts his stamp on the game and strikes fear into the other team because he's so powerful. Well, I can guarantee you Cooch strikes fear into the other team as well, just in a different way. Cooch's effort is high. I think that he has been closely checked in the series, and he has fought the puck, honestly, more than he normally does. We have speculated, is he battling through something? Whether he is or he isn't, I have no idea. All I'm telling you is this is what I'm seeing, that on plays where Kucherov is normally stick handling in a phone booth, hasn't really worked for him to this point in the series. But as you mentioned earlier in the show, Greg, maybe it will start to work for him. And that's maybe one thing the Panthers have to be wary of.
Listen, the law of averages dictate the player with a lot of talent who is used to dominating games at some point will have one of those moments in a series, if he hasn't up to this point. And I think it's reasonable to expect Nikita Kucherov still making an impact in a big way in one of these games. And maybe if he gets one, they can ride that hot hand to another one. And then from there, you kind of see what happens. Andrew says, even in a win, with the Lightning had trouble clearing their own zone, and it resulted in goals for Florida. Is their forecheck causing that strong of problems, or is it an internal issue for the Lightning? Or maybe it's both.
Well, I think it's both. I think that, I mean, it's not like the Lightning are getting like wide open lanes to just like dance out of the defensive zone. The Panthers are applying pressure, but the Lightning have not met the challenge in those instances of executing as well as they've needed to. Fan is right. I mean, the Verhaeghe goal, big goal, made it 3-1. I think if the Lightning get the fourth goal, not to go up 4-1, but to go up 4-0, that might have taken some of the wind out of Florida's sails in terms of, because they were pushing from the beginning of the second period. Lightning the puck in their own end. Now, Phil thought Nick Paul was the guy who lost the puck inside the blue line. He felt he was hooked. There was no call there. Got to live with that sometimes. So if you're hooked, you still have to find a way. You have to find a way to get the puck out. Even if it means that you are like reckless is not really the right word, but like you were doing everything to get the puck out. It means that you ice it, because you got too much stick on it. That's preferable to losing the puck, and then yeah, you and your teammates are out of position. And The Lightning were on a short penalty kill because Kucherov took a penalty while the Lightning were on a power play, leading to a 4-on-4. Hagel scored in the 4-on-4 to make it 4-1. Then the Panthers had a short power play. They've taken a second off. Like, they returned a second to the clock. They went back and looked at Reinhardt's goal. So originally it was 1 second after the penalty had ended on Kucherov, and now they've made it a power play goal. So the Reinhardt goal in game four originally wasn't a power play goal. Now it is a power play goal, but basically it was a play goal because Kucherov was coming out of the box and he didn't have any chance to get back in the play. But Braden Point had the puck, like, I don't know, 5 seconds before the goal and couldn't get it out. So two of the three Florida goals, kind of the same scenario. I'm not saying it's easy, but those are plays that have to be made.
See, Dave, the issue is it's been going on all year. The issue's getting out of their own zone. And I know a lot was made earlier in the year about the Lightning tinkering with their system. I just don't know if we can use that as an excuse.
That, I think, is more, though, Greg, like when the other team has the puck, how you are defending when you don't have the puck.
And that
this
can be
when
fair.
You have the puck, and what are you doing with it to alleviate pressure?
But, and you're right. That is true. Good distinction. But it has been a problem all year.
Yes.
Some would say it's even gone back to last year.
But I would say that the Lightning didn't really have this as a major issue in the first two games of the series, which is one reason why we both said it. Like, they defended pretty well in games one and two.
But usually you are what you are. The stats will come out, and they pretty much will tell you if there was an illusion or not. You know, in other words, if you're a 65% free throw shooter partner and you have a game where you go 82% from the free throw line, chances are you're probably going to go back to that 65-60% the rest of the series. You may have a game here where it just clicks, happens. It's the eye test, you know, and I think that's been the part that's, for me, been puzzling. Because it's not like the Lightning don't have guys that can't handle pressure. They've won a couple of cups with guys on that back end that have played some big minutes. It's everybody. It's not just one person either. It is everybody. And I think that's one of the things to kind of keep in mind. If that
one thing I will say, so Phil was harping on this in game four, is the Panthers are surging. The Lightning do prefer to pass the puck out of the defensive zone. And Phil was calling for them to pitch it out. You're ceding possession there, but you're getting it out of your own end. And maybe you're going to fight a battle in a different zone.
Live to fight another day.
And Liljeberg, he was complimenting Liljeberg, because Liljeberg was one guy who was doing that, basically. But as we got into the third period, particularly after those early minutes, the Lightning started doing that more, and that made Phil happy to see them do that.
We'll see if they do that tonight. Nikita says, how will we duplicate the emotions of game four tonight? Sergachev clearly made an enormous impact. Kucherov was also very physical and engaged. Did we rattle the Panthers enough to tilt the ice to get us back home for game six?
Well, I don't believe that rattling the Panthers is really in the cards. I mean, the Panthers are, I mean, they're a veteran playoff team now after going to the Stanley Cup final. And many of their guys have had a fair amount of postseason experience, even in years when they went out in the first or second round. I think that they don't want to go back to Tampa, though, and they're going to play like it tonight. How did the Lightning, however you put it, replicate the emotion? Well, you're not going to get the boost from Sergachev's return. Sergachev has returned. But I think that you can tap into the fact that you are, again, facing elimination. You have to play like it's do or die, which it is. If you lose, your season is over. By die, I mean your season is over. Not to be morbid about it, but that's the expression, right? However you want to frame it, there's no margin for error for the Lightning. They should go out and play like, and they also understand they tend to be at their most dynamic when they play with some juice. It's like what Brian Engblom talks about. You know, when the Lightning get into a game, chess or checkers, that doesn't usually allow them to be at their best, even though sometimes it calls for structure, like being in the right position, kind of feeling out the other team. I mean, there are instances when that is called for, but generally when the Lightning play with some juice, that's when they are at their best. And what I have noticed in the series, Greg, is when something good happens for the Lightning, notably a goal, that supercharges them.
Yep.
They've been at their best in the series, basically right after they score a goal. And sometimes it leads to another goal. On Saturday, led to three goals.
Yep.
One of the big keys in game three, of course, was that Reinhardt's goal that tied the game at two, essentially like took some of the wind away. And the ice was leveled. And by the time the period ended, the Panthers had their lead back.
That's true.
That was a big goal that Reinhardt scored. He's a really good player. I mean, I don't know. I know we're going off a little topic here with 5 minutes left, but I have no idea what the Panthers are going to do with. They don't have any cap room to speak of, and they have some big time key players coming up in the next year, like this year and then next year, who are on expiring contracts. Do they let a guy who scored 57 goals during the regular season, now three more in the playoffs? So he's accounted for 60 goals this year, regular season and playoffs. Do you let this guy walk? Fortunately, that's not a decision the Lightning management have to make.
We had that comment, right? Like Verhaeghe or Reinhardt.
Verhaeghe's up next year. Bennett's up next year. Montour is up this year.
Yeah.
They got Forsling re-signed, which I think was a...
That's probably the guy you needed to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Did we exhaust all our questions, or were there more?
More, but we'll have to get to them tomorrow, coming up on the end of the hour. But we appreciate everybody who chimed in.
Hopefully, make a preview of Game 6 tomorrow.
That would be a lot of fun. If not, we will recap what we saw.
We will be there under both contingencies.
That is true. That is true. Partner, great job as always. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you and Phil tonight.
Talk to you tonight.
It'll be a lot of fun. Make sure you keep it tuned to Lightning Radio. We'll be on the airwaves with pregame show starting at 6:30, and then, of course, back in this setting, noon to 1. Taking all of your comments and questions, and should be a lot of fun. Thanks to everybody who listened on Spaces today. And again, join us weekdays during the season, noon to 1 on the Lightning app. And click that headphone section, and you can listen to us. Thanks to Steve Versnick for putting this together, and for the Lightning for allowing us to use some of their resources here to come on and break it down with you guys on X as well. We'll do it again tomorrow. You've been listening to Power Lunch right here on Lightning Radio.